We're continuing to discuss the various forbidden uses of Shmita produce and money which is exchanged with Shmita produce. And one of those forbidden uses is to do business with the Shmita produce. And so the Mishnah tells us that a neisnin lo labayar, one is not allowed to give Shmita produce or money which was exchanged for Shmita produce to a buyer. A buyer is somebody who digs pits and wells for water, and he would also give that water to whoever needed water. If you needed water to water your field or to drink, you would go to a buyer and he would supply you with the water. So you would not be able to pay him for that water with the Shmita money, v'lo la balon. Neither can you give Shmita money as payment to a balon, who is the person who owns the bathhouse, or he stands in the bathhouse collecting the money, the payment for the bathhouse, v'lo la sapar. You can't give Shmita money or Shmita produce to a barber. And finally, v'lo la sapon, neither can you give Shmita produce or money to a sailor. Payment for any of these things is considered businesslike. It's a proper exchange, and therefore it's forbidden. However, says the Mishnah, when it comes to buying water from a buyer, the one who digs the water pits and the water wells, if you specify that you're only buying the water in order to drink it. So drinking, we've learned before, is considered like eating, and therefore it's a permitted use with Shmita produce or Shmita money. And therefore, avol nisin hula buyer lishtais, one can give Shmita produce or Shmita money to a buyer if you specify that you only want the water for drinking. So he'll give you drinking water, and you'll drink that, so you're allowed to pay him with Shmita money then. Because since the thing that you're buying from him is a permitted Shmita use, that's not considered business anymore. You're allowed to spend money on something which is permitted during Shmita, and continues the mission with another leniency, ulachulon. And to all of the people mentioned in the Mishnah, if you don't specify that this is payment, rather you say it's a gift, then even if it's obvious that technically it is payment and he's not going to come and ask you for payment, if you say it's a gift, then who knows him anas chinam, he can give it as a free gift, because if he doesn't specify that it's payment, then it's considered not to be payment for something else, which automatically means that it's no longer businesslike, and therefore it would be permitted. Mishnah Vav, one of the forms of work which the Torah forbids during Shmita is harvesting and cutting things off the ground. However, this is not totally forbidden because the Torah does say that you can eat Shmita produce, and that includes produce which is attached to the ground. And therefore you would be able to cut things off the ground so that you can eat them, but you need to do it in an unusual way. And therefore that's what the Torah means when it says that you cannot cut things off the ground. It means you cannot cut them off in the usual way. But if you process them in a different way, then it will be permitted, and then you'll be able to eat them during Shmita. And because of that, the Mishnah says, Te'inim shel shavias, figs which grew during Shmita and are ready to be cut off the ground, in koitzin oisim b'muktzeh, one is not allowed to cut the figs with a muktzeh, which is a special type of knife which was used to cut figs off the tree. Because that would be the usual way. Avol koitzin oisim b'churba, rather you should cut them with a churba, which is some sort of sword or a different type of knife. The point is, you need to do it in an unusual way. There are those who explain that part of the Mishnah to be referring to drying figs, but the point will be the same, that you cannot dry them in the regular way, but you'd have to dry them in an unusual manner. Continues the Mishnah, in Dorchim Anovim Begas, one is not allowed to press olives in a wine press, because that's the usual way of processing that produce. Avol Dorchu Ba'areva, rather you should press the grapes in an areva, which is a big bowl, which was usually used for kneading dough. So it's much smaller than a regular wine press, and that will be permitted during Shmita because that's an unusual way. So see that even though the Pasuk was talking about cutting things off the ground, we've already seen the Midrabanan, lots of other things are forbidden as well. But of course, if it's for the sake of eating that produce during Shmita, then you will be able to do it in an unusual way. So the Mishnah gives another example, that in Esim Zesim, one is not allowed to press olives, babad, in a real proper olive press, uva koitev, and using a very large beam to press the olives. But you can do it in an unusual way, and therefore avol kesei shu, but you would be able to crush them by hand or using other methods, but not in a professional olive press. And then once you've crushed them a little bit, umachas abedida, then you can put them into a small olive press, still not the regular large one, but if you put it into a small one, that would be permitted. That's still considered unusual enough. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't even have to do it so regularly. According to Rabbi Shimon, you could even grind and press the olives in the usual olive press. And then after you've done that first pressing, then you should put it into a smaller press to finish off the process. That's considered irregular and different to other years enough that it is permitted. Mishnah Zayin, because the Torah says that Shmita produce is designated l'ochla, for eating, It's forbidden, therefore, to just destroy Schmitter produce. We've seen a few applications of that already, and now the Mishnah gives another one. Now, the halacha is that truma, which is the gift of produce which goes to a kohen, and only a kohen can eat it, if truma becomes tomei, impure, then it needs to be burnt. This is a special law with regards to truma produce, and it does not apply, for example, to Schmitter produce. And because of that, the Mishnah says, according to the Tanakama at least, in Vashli Yorok Shal Shavias, Beshemen Shal Truma. One is not allowed to cook a vegetable which is Shmita vegetable, in oil which is Truma oil. Why? So that he does not lead it to become invalid. Because if you think about it, if that oil becomes Tomei, since the vegetable would have absorbed the taste of the oil, so just like the oil needs to be burnt, so too the Shmita produce, the vegetable would also need to be burnt. And that certainly will be wasting the Shmita produce. But according to the Tanakama, you can't even mix them together in the first place, in case you'll come to a situation where you'll be forced to burn the Shmita produce. Because that's wasting it. However, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon allows you to mix them together, because who says it will become Tomei? You're only forbidden to waste Shmita produce directly. But you do not need to be concerned that if you mix them, then it might become Tomei. We're not concerned for that, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you are allowed to cook a Shmita vegetable within Truma oil. Now, the second half of this Mishnah teaches us an important concept with regards to Shmita produce, and that is that if somebody exchanges Shmita produce for something else, for example, let's say money, so you've already seen that as well as the fruit having Shmita sanctity, the money also gains that Kedusha of Peiros Shavuos, that sanctity and the restrictions which apply to Shmita produce. Now, what happens if somebody then exchanges that money for, let's say, meat? So the halacha is that the money no longer has the sanctity of Shmita produce, but instead the meat does. And if you exchange the meat for something else, then that thing will gain that kedusha, and the meat will lose that those restrictions and that sanctity. And that's what the Mishnah teaches us here, v'achrein achrein nispos b'shavias. The last thing which it's exchanged for gains the sanctity of Peiros Shavuos. But as well as that, it's important to remember that v'hapri atzmai, the produce itself, the original Shmita produce, osir. That's always forbidden, that always retains its sanctity, because at the end of the day, that's Shmita produce. It's only the things which it's exchanged for, so when it comes to those, so the last thing has the Kedusha. But the produce itself, that always gains the Kedusha, and these two principles are learnt from Pesukim, where this produce is compared to Karbonus. But be as it may, there will always be two things. Once Shmita produce is exchanged for something, there will always only ever be maximum two things which have the Kedusha of Peiros Shavuos. Number one is the produce itself, and number two is the last thing down the line which it's exchanged for. And as of course only half of it is exchanged, etc. Mishnah Ches, the halacha is that one is only allowed to use Shmita money, that means money which was exchanged for Shmita produce, in order to buy food which can be eaten, or drink, because the original Shmita produce has to be eaten or drunk, if that's the normal thing which was done with that produce. And therefore, to use that money to buy other things would be forbidden. In Leikchim and Vodim, one is not allowed to buy slaves, v'karkois, or land, or v'hema tamea, or a non-kosher animal which you can't eat, midimei shavias, with the money of Shmita produce, money which was exchanged for Shmita produce. Now what happens v'im lokach, if somebody does buy those things with Shmita money, to rectify this and as a punishment, yechal kenegdon, he must eat that amount which he spent on those things. And he needs to eat that amount as if it was Shmita produce. If, for example, he spent 100 zuz, let's say, on a non-kosher animal. See, he now has to spend another 100 zuz to buy a kosher animal, let's say, or anything which he can eat. And whatever food he buys, even though that's not Shmita produce, he needs to view it as Shmita produce, and therefore the restrictions which apply to Shmita produce would apply to that. Now continues the Mishnah, Mevi'in kinei zovim, one cannot bring a korban of zovim. A zov is a man who becomes tomei in a certain way because of certain things which occur with his body, the kinei zovis, the bird korbanos of zovis, which is a woman who becomes tomei in this way, and the korbanos which these two people need to bring would be bird offerings. They would bring two birds, the kinei yoldos, and also the bird offerings of a woman who gives birth, midimei shavias, from money of Shmita produce. You cannot use that to buy those korbanos. And the reason for this, as we're going to understand, is because korbanos need to be bought from money which has no sanctity to it. It has to come totally from you. And therefore, if the money already has Kedusha, but already has sanctity, for example, Shemitah produce, that cannot be used to buy Karbanos. And once again, V'im Hevi, if he illegally did bring these Karbanos from that Shemitah money, then to fix that, and as his punishment, Yechal Kenegdan, he should eat corresponding to that amount, meaning he should spend money on other produce and use and treat that food as if it had Shemitah sanctity. And the third example which the Mishnah gives is Ein Soch in Kelim B'Shemen Shel Shavuos. One is not allowed to rub oil on utensils if that oil is Shemitah oil. Because even though we learnt earlier on in the Masechta that rubbing oil on one's body is permitted with Shemitah oil, that's because it's learned from Pesukim that rubbing liquids on one's body is like drinking the liquids. But doing it on other objects would not be so. And therefore that's not something which is a Shemitah use, so you cannot use Shemitah oil to do that. And if you do, once again, v'imsoch, if you do rub the oil on the utensils in Yochal Kenegdai, you should eat food which is worth that amount, and treat that food as if it was Shemitah food.